Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently.
If you are still using a front desk in your salon, it may be time to future-proof your business with Aura Salonware. Aura allows you and your team to check clients out from any device. That means there's no need for a front desk or front desk overhead. What's even more amazing is that clients can check themselves out using the Aura app from their own device. With Aura Salonware, you can finally let technology streamline your business. Start removing your front desk today by visiting aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
Happy 10-year anniversary.
I know, right?
Destroy the Hairdresser.
It feels like much longer, though, because we've been doing so many other things.
I know. I actually don't think it feels like it's been 10 years. To me, it feels like we started this like last summer, and it just feels like it hasn't been 10 years is kind of terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it feels like, well, here's the thing. It's been way longer than that we've been doing this, but like officially, you know, 10 years. So it's one of those things that makes you feel like, how much longer are you going to do it?
Yeah. Like what does this actually look like in the next 10 years?
Yeah.
But I think it's nice to celebrate 10 years in. We're back at doing the podcast at home because you went and got your wife knocked up.
We had a baby. Baby is here. And we were talking about this, like, well, first off, for those of you listening versus watching, we are now in our own homes, so it's completely different. But I'm excited because I think there's a personal effect to that, right? And also with businesses, you have to adapt. And yes, we have a baby at home. We were talking about it. We thought like everything was going to flip upside down and everything was going to be crazy. And yeah, there's some adjustments, but like it's been awesome. Like it's been awesome.
I've said this over and over. I really thought everything would change, like, because you hear people like having babies and like then they have to, you know, change jobs, or they don't have enough time, or they don't have this. And not that those things, you know, not that time is ever going to get easier, but it's not as different as I thought, other than just now we work a little bit more from our podcast studio at home, which is nice.
Which I love.
I don't even know if I'm wearing pants or if you're wearing pants. And I think that makes it easier. It's a mystery for everyone.
I think because we have always practiced like levels of critical thinking. Like if there's a problem, find a fucking solution. Like why are we going into like a crisis about it? And I think I'm so thankful for that like superpower, because it was like, okay, well, my mother-in-law's here. My wife is off for maternity leave. I'm going back to work. How do I adapt? Like, where am I going? And I had to find a different office to work in. You know, I had to adjust my schedule. I shifted in many ways, and change is really uncomfortable. And I think people really get caught up in that. Like, I can't do it the way I've always been doing it. So it's a failure. And it's not like even this podcast, like we were in a studio. Now we're like, we're going back home. And I think that's just how you adapt. And I think if you can't adapt in your business, you're going to have some problem. That's not going to be good.
No, when we started our podcast, I think we started in 2016. Mm-hmm. But when we started the podcast, it was called Bleached. And so if you listen to all the early episodes, I mean, we were different people. The industry was a little bit different. We had different names, everything. And we
different girlfriends, different boyfriends.
Yeah. And we were sitting on our floor in our Brooklyn apartment with one little microphone, one little Yeti microphone. And I mean, you could hear the furnace going on and off. You could hear sirens outside. You could hear the neighbors, you know, fighting each other. You could hear
I'm always louder than you. So
even now, to this day, Sid we used to have to record where Sid would sit about 3 feet away from the mic. And then I would be like 2 feet closer to the mic so that it sounded normal, but it did work. But it's just been a kind of a wild ride. And so I think, you know, marking this 10-year anniversary and then you and your wife having a baby, it's just been kind of a, I don't know what I want to call it, like a milestone year. Yeah,
for sure. And I just think like all the ways it kind of like makes me reflect back on our business and like all the ways in the beginning, a lot of the adapting was for survival.
Yeah.
Not really by choice. Like it was like, okay, like if we don't, like you and I were getting burnt out by coaching. Like we're like, if we want this business to expand, we have to start, it has to be beyond us. Like we have to start hiring coaches. Like that there was a level of survival there. And yeah. Now it's like, oh my God, I can't even imagine not having coaches. Like,
right.
Like no, those kind of things.
It's that adaptability quality that I think keeps Destroy the Hairdresser alive in an industry yes. that is so, I would say,
stuck. I would agree. But it's our industry is so stuck.
Volatile.
I mean, we still get so much pushback on things that like people are still having problems for. And that's the thing too. I think everyone's so in their box of like their experience that like we talk to hairdressers all over the world all day long. So like we're literally seeing everyone. I remember posting something on our Instagram and it was just like little polls to create like conversation and engagement. And I put like online book or paper book, which sounds so stupid to put, right? Like, because the idea of someone in my bubble using a paper book is so ridiculous.
A lot of people use paper
yes,
books or like pen and paper, literally, still.
We which had is some cool. shitty comments per
oh,
use.
We did?
Well, oh. of just people kind of being an asshole, like, no one uses paper books anymore. And if they do, they're not on Instagram. And I'm like, you're, and next thing you know, it was like, I still use it. And that's the thing. It's like so many people are so caught up in their own bubble that they're forgetting like everyone else is having this mass experience. And I think that's why our industry isn't changing, because we're only caught up in our own bullshit, which rightfully so. Like, honestly, like, you're not really worried about the salon down the street or the hairdresser in the suite next to you or, you know, whatever that looks like. But at some point, like, I'm always asking our students, I'm like, what's your end game? Like, do you?
Well, I think too, it's like when we ask those questions, I think people get really worked up and it's like, it's just, number one, it's social media. It's just questions. It's just for fun and
just a poll.
For engagement and yeah. And to participate. But I gotta be honest, like I promote and coach to online booking because it's future proof, but I there's a part of me that loves pen and paper
for right? sure, like,
but
it's nostalgic.
You have to ask yourself what in the real world, in keeping up with society, what is going to work. And that's the adaptability part that, you know, I think we live in a society and kind of in a world where it's either this or that. You're either right or wrong. It's black and white. You have to do this or you're garbage. And I think people assume that's how we are, but really we're just collecting data. Mm-hmm. No, we're really collecting data, seeing what people are actually doing. And yeah, we're always going to fall in the realm of pushing people towards solutions that are future proof. But adaptability doesn't mean necessarily leaving everything behind. I think I've seen really nostalgic salons that still use online booking, but they still have this like beautiful appointment book that's really like old and cool. And
mm-hmm.
I love that there's no rules about what you should use and how you should use it. But I think, can I keep nostalgia? Can I get rid of what no longer works? Can I try something new? That's really what I think we're trying to do here at Destroy the Hairdresser, is collect data and then question it. You know, is this the best way?
I love that you said, like, we're finding solutions to problems and, like, to future-proof things. And that's how all of our methods were created. And we were talking – you and I were just having, like, a little shoot-the-shit conversation the other day about, like, how, like, yes, Destroy the Hairdresser teaches to these methods because, one, we believe in them. We've seen the profitability within them. We've seen the culture shifts. We've seen so many things, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that like what you're doing isn't working. And I think, right. like you said, everyone gets caught up in this whole black and white of like, well, Destroy the Hairdresser saying switch to hourly pricing. So I'm doing this and I'm really profitable. I have to switch. And it's like, that's probably not your best move, right? Like, if you're doing well, do well. As long as you're making more money consistently, you're growing. Like, you know, the whole concept of hourly, you said it, I'm going to give you all the credit. You were like, it's a lifestyle and culture shift, and it's super beneficial for a lot of people. And then it's really scary for a lot of people. And I think that's the thing. It's like, adapting is deciding, can I do something uncomfortable to further my business, further my life, further my experience? But I think some people don't adapt. They hold on tight as they're going through the change, if that makes sense. And that's why things don't work.
Well, I mean, fluidity. Listen, everyone's on the same roller coaster. Some people are white knuckling it, right? Like, they're holding on for dear life, even though they're okay. You know, and then other people have their hands and limbs just flailing around, enjoying the ride. And I think we're trying to work with those who are white knuckling it. And we're trying to, like, if you're watching, you can see, like, rip their hands, like, off the, like, put your hand up, like, let go, you know, like, have fun. And I think that that's kind of how I see our industry, is like, we're all on the same ride and we're all experiencing it very differently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it gets into this, like, what's right and what's wrong. And it's like, how about nothing's right and nothing's wrong? If you like what we're talking about, come work with us.
This roller coaster is going whether you're right or wrong or whatever it is. And I think the tools that we're trying to give people, actually, I know the tools that we're trying to give people are, you know, how to make that ride a little less nauseating and a little less terrifying. And some people get it and some people don't, but it's definitely, you know, what we're trying to do is help that inevitable change that's coming into our industry is going to be harder for those who are not preparing themselves to adapt. And I look at AI, like I coach people that are outside of our industry as well. And I work with them a lot about using AI because everyone's so afraid of it. They don't think, some people think it's not going to, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. Other people are like, it's the only thing that's going to exist in the future. You know, there's a lot of polarizing things around AI, but it's about, you have to keep up with it because it is going to be part of your day. It's already a part of your daily life. It's just that it's not as advanced as it's going to be.
And the, everything and honestly, is moving if I so
could
quick.
If I could just have AI friends, I think it'd be fine.
You like, do. I'm not real.
Oh my gosh. What happens when everyone finds out that we're just AI generated?
Oh my God.
It's actually Beck and Drew.
Behind the scenes.
They're just controlling us through AI.
I mean, they kind of are through Slack and through. I wake up and I'm like, what am I supposed to do today? Like, they're fully in charge. But I think about our podcast, right? Like, we were on the floor in a kitchen. We made our way in New York to a studio. We adapted into another version. We brought it to a different studio, and we wanted to bring things on video. So we went to a different studio because what was adapting? Technology, the way people were consuming podcasts. And now we've left the studio and we've come back, and AI has advanced so much that, like, this episode that we're recording now, when we're done, a click of a button, we'll edit it, caption it, clip it for social media, and we don't have to do anything. And I think about a year ago,
thank God,
we had to do that shit ourselves.
Thank
not anymore.
God. Because I honestly, like, I was thinking about it today. Thank God for AI. But I was thinking about it today. Like, I hate laundry. I've talked about this a lot. I hate laundry. And I found a new hate, which is breaking down boxes for recycling. I find that breaking down boxes for recycling is like, if I were to die and go to hell, that would be what laundry and recycling would be waiting for me. That would be my personal hell. But the idea I'm getting at is that the more I do those things, the more this is why I'm getting to AI, is like, the more I do those things, the less time I have to do what I'm good at, which is help people make money. And so it's all about, like, with AI, it's like, okay, what took us 10 hours before now takes 10 minutes. Those extra 9 hours and 50 minutes, I can help someone, I can coach someone. And that's like how I've been thinking about the benefits of AI and adapting and keeping up. It's exhausting, but I don't know if there's any other option.
Adapt or die.
Adapt or die. Evolve or die. It's very Darwinistic, but I think it's very true. And now a word from our sponsors.
We at Destroy the Hairdresser, in a groundbreaking collaboration with health industry veterans, are bringing our listeners health plans that cover every professional in the beauty industry. This includes individuals, teams, and families. We are currently in the process of insuring thousands of beauty professionals in all 50 states. Healthcare benefits are now open, and guess what? There's no enrollment deadline. Sign up during any month of the year and gain health benefits quickly. Get your name on the list by visiting destroythehairdresser.com/hairdresserhealthcare.